Let's do it.
So welcome to Bitcoin 101. Today I have Andrew Cordell with me today. He's a serial entrepreneur, real estate investor. And let's just talk a bit about Bitcoin, finance, how he got here. So Andrew, welcome. So I'm sorry, I was a little out of this morning because I did not realize that we actually were doing a podcast. But so let's get started. So you're into NFTs. What are you doing with that?
Yeah, so first let me tell you, obviously, the mix of the calendar, but dude, one thing I love about you already is that you're like, dude, I don't want to waste time. Let's make content since we're here.
Yeah.
And let's shoot the show, man. So, you know, NFT space, it's a fun one, dude. It's between crypto and NFTs, it's a whole new world and metaverse. It's like the Wild Wild West right now. And it's mind-blowing what's going on in this space. And for like an entrepreneur visionary, dude, in my opinion, like you look down the road in 10 years, to me, so much of our lives are going to be different 10 years from now with Meta, crypto, and NFTs that's taking place right now.
So you think it's here to stay?
Oh, 100%. Now, I don't think that necessarily the form of NFT, how a lot of these guys are doing NFTs, I don't think that's here to stay. I think, you know, a lot of what I see in NFT space right now is what I kind of parallel as in the stock market when they have pump and dumps and which are like illegal, you know what I mean? Like to me, a lot of NFT space, 90% of it, maybe that's what it freaking is right now. But the concept of what NFT can provide, that concept on the blockchain is freaking magical, dude. That has so much potential as people, entrepreneurs, humans, countries, companies figure it out. Just like crypto, you know, when crypto came along, It was a black eye and everybody hated it forever. And it took time for people to want to invest in it. And it took even longer for companies to want to invest in it. And NFTs, but I will say NFTs are going faster than the road that crypto took, in my opinion.
Like, oh, sure.
You look at crypto and how long it took for crypto to be like kind of like a, you know, a common place where people are more accepting it and more talking about it and say, oh, okay, well, crypto's real. You look at NFTs and that space took off in like a year from when it really got popular. Or public, if you will. Obviously, it was around before that, but when it got, you know, people started talking about it, NFT adoption is through the roof right now.
So I see you're obviously into baseball cards. I've never been into collectibles, but what do you think the future is? What form will they take on?
So it's funny you mentioned. So this is where NFTs get really fun. So, you know, with baseball cards, you got to think about it. Obviously, you're an investor. You guys got your hedge fund. And as an investor, cards, sneakers, I'm going to begin to sneakers. Cards, sneakers, all those things, those are a form of investments for the younger generation. So you look at the younger generation, millennials and so forth, obviously the background, obviously I speak a ton on money and wealth and so forth all across the world, but you look at the younger generation, they're not big on their 401ks. That is not the direction that the millennials are going is, because I think part of it is they look at their parents and think, wait a second, you guys told me to go get a great job and you know, put money in a 401k.
Yep.
And here you are at 55, 60 years old, and you're still kind of, for the most part, broke, don't have retirement set up yet, and you're struggling. Why do I want to go do that? Like, I can look down the road and see it didn't work out for you. And I think when you talk about baseball cards, you talk about sneakers, you talk about crypto, you talk about NFTs, all of those are buzz items. And there'll be more, and there's others right now that the younger generation loves as an investment. So a lot of times people think about baseball cards, they think about it when they were a kid and it's like, oh, I'm going to buy them and store them up and hold them. That's not what cards are. Cards now are like art. I collect art as well. And I buy art, it appreciates, and I flip it. Cards, when you get in the card space now, it's just investors. One of the biggest hedge funds in the world, Blackstone, just made a huge play in the card space because cards are just a form of an investment right now.
So how do you pick something that's going to stick around?
Dude, if everybody knew that, that would be the crystal ball that everybody's looking for.
Because it's easy, like with the stock market, you buy an ETF, you hold it for 50 years and you're set. But with NFTs, no idea, is it around even 6 months from now?
Exactly. And that's why I think a lot of the NFTs that, like, I don't buy a lot of the NFTs that people are doing right now. I have buddies that buy them left and right. I don't buy those right now. Not that I don't understand it or don't understand how they're flipping it to make money, but I think it's like looking at it as an investment. I think it's too risky and too much of a crapshoot for me to go play with right now. Where I think the value of NFT. So what I did was I took cards, sports cards, which is a 21st century investment, but still built on a, you know, 19th century or 20th century platform, where guys are still meeting up at baseball card shops, at hotels, trying to buy and sell cards from each other. So all we did is we own a company called First Token, software company. We developed a platform for card trading where you can go live on it. You have your own page, you can buy, sell, trade. It scans all of it for you, et cetera. What we did to it though, that's making it crazy right now, is when you scan your card, we created NFTs. So when you scan your card right now, one of two things will happen. It will either say, congratulations, you won, or it will just pop up a picture of your card and say, hey, is this your card? If that's your card, you click the button that says yes, and it takes all the data from your card, front of it, back of it, all the information of that player, and puts it on your profile page and lets you go and buy and sell in 1 second. But if you win the, if you scan the card and no one else has scanned that card, then you win an NFT on our site, and it's a transactional NFT. So we put a token, we own a digital ledger. We put a token, but the blockchain, we put a token on your account that represents that card right there. Now, anytime anybody in the world on our site buys or sells that card, a transaction takes place. That's how we get paid off of it. We're like a yep. PayPal. We're like a Square. We get paid on our ledger. We get paid on that. You get a percentage of that paid out to you. So we created transactional NFTs, which is a way cooler concept of NFT world versus the pump and dump system that's out there now inside of it.
Got it. Let me tell you something I did earlier this year. I was working with a company called Royalty Exchange that buys and sells music royalties.
Yeah.
There's musicians that want to sell their music royalty income stream as an NFT. And okay. So we did Lil Dicky and A Tribe Called Quest. And what we did is basically we packaged up their future royalty stream as an NFT, right? And so they get paid in Ethereum whenever people listen to Spotify and Pandora to their music. And so that did really well. And I think that's also a big part of it.
Yeah.
Actually linking real world revenue stream
correct
to the NFT owner.
Yes. That to me is the true one of the true values. Those are the true values of NFTs. But to me, that's the real true value of NFT, is you tie in real transactions, real cash flow, whether that be US dollars or whether that be crypto with Ethereum. But when the NFT is attached to transactions, assets is where the real value. When you just say this JPEG, this picture that someone drew on their piece of paper and it's selling for 1.3 million, dude, that just has fake crap. Like I
agree there. Okay,
what's
good.
That?
Completely agree with you.
Yeah, I just can't get into that at all, man.
All right, let me change topics. So you mentioned 401k. So young people today, a few options for investments. Of course, the traditional way that our parents have been doing is, as you said, 401k, long-term ETF. Today, you have a few buckets you can put money in. You have the stock market. Of course, crypto is exploding. Real estate. What's your suggestion? How would you allocate assets across those asset categories?
Yeah, so obviously in all these questions, it's all based off of context of where that person's at and, you know, age and money. But let's just talk about it in a blanket statement right now with a couple highlighted points. Number one, you know, we run a billion-dollar company here. We control all of our money. So as you get into it with wealthy people, they tend to always manage and control their assets and their money. They tend not to just give it to someone like inside of a 401k and say, here, you take it and just hopefully I make some money back. We control our money. We're the ones who buy the real estate and own the real estate or invest in massive funds that are buying into portfolios. That side of it, that's one thing to understand money. When you talk about diversification, I think that's a made up word for the most part that the same group of 401k managers use as a way to settle the fear of the average American. They use the word diversification. And what the way that they're describing it, because you talk about most Americans, 76% of them live paycheck by paycheck. If you ask them, and there's been studies done on this, and say, what's the number one thing they're afraid of in their retirement is that they don't have enough of it, or they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it in a stock market. And so they're constantly living in a state of fear, right? Where to overcome that fear, the financial salesman, if you will, helps them and says, talks about diversification in that format of how they're doing it. But go back to the crash in 2008. It wasn't even a stock market crash, but of course, stock market crashed with it. And where was all the diversification when the average 401k lost 52%? If it was all about diversification, why didn't it stay at, okay, maybe it went down from 100% of whatever that growth was to 90% or 85, but 52?
We have an everything bubble now. All the assets are being inflated, and so everything crashes together.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Back to your point, your question about what would I invest in and where would I do it? Honestly, dude, I put a ton of my money in crypto right now. That's probably one of my biggest investments out there right now is crypto. And several different reasons. Number one, I just look at it from a standpoint of you look at crypto and look at the movement inside of these coins of fluctuating on some of these, you know, the bigger ones, as well as the, you know, we would call them crap coins, or, and then you have the altcoins. But even like I made a ton of money off of freaking Dogecoin when it hit. So I'm not afraid to invest in crap coins, but I understand it's a high level risk of maybe this thing goes up and I can make some money on a big picture. On the same hand, just understand you could lose all your money inside of a crap coin. So that's really more of a gamble is what I would tell you.
All about timing the market. You're not really investing in value.
It's time in the market. But if you look at Bitcoin, you look at Ethereum, those are two that I have a ton of money in right now. I still have money in XRP. I don't know what your viewpoint on XRP is, but I have money in XRP and a couple other ones. When those big ones, man, you know, Ethereum has been bouncing from 3,000 to almost 5,000, you know, in between those two ranges right there. And because I'm in it for long term, that is a huge amount of movement in a stock. $2,000 on a $3,000 purchase, if you will. That is a massive amount of movement. So when that Ethereum goes down, and right now I think it's like 3,600 right now this morning, but a month ago it was like 4,700. Dude, I'm buying right now because my opinion that it's going to go back up again. And that was just in a month it's doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So the investment that I love the most right now is that I put money into is crypto because of what I can get back out of it. Where can you get that return right now in buying a stock? You buy Apple.
I mean, it's been the best performing asset in the last decade by far.
By far, it's been the most performing asset, but you still have this group of people and they're getting the smaller amounts of them, but you still this group of people that love to dog on it and say that it's not real. Well, the money in my account's real. I can tell you that when I transfer USD dollars, it works just like your dollars works, you know?
So, I just bought my house with Bitcoin.
Exactly, dude. So in my opinion, crypto will be the way of the future, and it's only a matter of time. Like when I say the way of the future, what I mean by that is like, we will all use it. We will all be using crypto at some point. The US dollar is going to go away. And it will be a crypto. Now, what crypto, we can have a discussion of what crypto and will it be a government ranked crypto or whatever, but crypto is the future of money. And so anytime in any type of investments, whether it be crypto or real estate or businesses in any of those companies in investing, when you are the first ones out of the gate, that is where the most amount of highest spikes you'll see is when you're leading the pack out of the investment versus, you know, 25 years later when it's now adopted with everybody. Now those spikes of $2,000 in 30 days won't be there as much. And it'd be smaller spikes. So always getting into it at the beginning is the huge asset for people.
Absolutely. So I live crypto full time. This is my full time gig. But for somebody that's not in the space full time, do they really have the expertise to decide which is going to be the winner in the space?
So my opinion, no. You know, I'm giving you my kind of thoughts and opinions here. And I could go a little bit either ways and argue both sides of it. But here's a general rule of thumb when it comes to success. You know, so people that have success is they normally always have someone that's an expert in that arena that they don't mind paying advice for to get the right advice. Now this is at a higher level, and I understand, you know, when you're starting off and you only have, you're talking $100. Okay. I understand it. But as you grow, just understand there's no way that any of us could be an expert at everything. I am not an expert at crypto, but I have a team that I constantly am talking to and texting and asking what's going on and what I should do that I don't mind paying them. You can pay in different ways. I don't pay them a commission. I literally pay them like a monthly retainer fee for their advice and opinion, because we're just like we just said, they are spending 100% of their working time on crypto. That's what they do 60, 70 hours a week. They're reading it, studying it, understanding what's happening in the market, watching volatility. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for all that because I do the thing that I'm really good at. That's where I spend my time at, right? So for someone starting off, I would tell you, you ask your question, is it hard for them to choose which one it is? I think it is. And I think you better go get some advice from someone who is an expert. And You pay for what you get, man.
So I've been telling people that if you're just starting out, if you're not an expert, hold 100% of Bitcoin as far as crypto goes. What do you think about that?
Oh, I have no problem with that. You know, I was saying, that's what I was saying in context. Like if someone's just starting out and, you know, they're investing, you know, a couple hundred dollars and 500 or smaller amounts, right? 1,000 and they're getting into it. Crypto is probably right now your best. I mean, Bitcoin right now is your best bet that you can just kind of bank on it, dude. And in my opinion, it would be Bitcoin and then Ethereum. And obviously Ethereum is kind of on the rise and a lot of people are hot and heavy on it, but they also have some pretty big competitors coming out right now as well. But Bitcoin, if you're getting started, you're like, you know, a new beginner inside of crypto. If I was putting money somewhere, don't be afraid to put it in Bitcoin for sure, man.
Got it. So I've been telling people that when you think about your investments, there's really three buckets. One is the stock market, which is the old safe investment.
Yeah, sure.
Another one is crypto. But another big one people miss is debt. If the dollar is really going to have high inflation for a long time, then debt is very good to have. And real estate is one of the best forms of debt that you can get.
Yep.
What's your thought on that?
Dude, I mean, real estate's the true and true tested one out of those. You know, does it mean that it doesn't go up and down over time? Of course it does. Every asset out there is going to go up and down. However, when you talk about a lot of the benefits that real estate has that other two buckets there don't have, real estate has massive tax advantages, massive tax advantages. And again, as you make more and more money, to understand how the tax, you know, there's three steps in making being wealthy. It is know how to create money, which is kind of what we're talking about here. Creating money is like, how do you invest in crypto? And should you invest in crypto? And which one do you invest in crypto?
Right.
Creating it, keeping it, and then protecting it. Those are three basic steps of creating wealth. What most people don't miss out on is the keeping it part. That's what really separates real wealth from other people, is that wealthy people understand to high measures how the tax laws work in our country. You can hate the tax laws, love the tax laws. That's not what this is about. But there's tax laws that currently exist and they change and they waver on both different sides. But understand how to keep your money is massive. So one of the massive benefits of real estate is the amount of tax benefits you get from real estate. Plus you have the long-term play of cash flow and equity and depreciation. So when you put those three pieces of it together, one of them may go down, right? You may have cash flow go down. You may have appreciation go down, but you have two more that you're betting on inside that same kind of one bucket. Mm-hmm. Really split into three buckets there.
Got it. Yeah. I think another way to shelter yourself from taxes on crypto is you can always put it in your 401k. I just opened a IRA account, started buying Bitcoin in it. And normally if it's short-term gain, it's taxed at the regular rate, but with my crypto IRA, I can do whatever I want and never have to worry about taxes or not.
Now on the tax side of the IRA, so I'm huge into the tax, all these tax benefits. Are you using just like a self-directed traditional IRA?
Yes, or
are you using
self-directed IRA.
Roth.
It's not a Roth, it's a normal IRA. So you can actually roll over a 401k if it's like a previous employer into a self-directed IRA. There's one that's not called Choice that has zero fees of any kind and basically do whatever you want with it, but buy and sell crypto and pay no taxes on the gains.
For many, many years now, matter of fact, most of my wealth has been created from what you're talking about, the self-directed market. The self-directed market is one of the hidden gems that the 90% of the world does not understand how it works in America. The only thing that I do different is, I don't use what would be called your traditional IRAs. I only focus on the self-directed Roth components.
So Roth are basically after taxes. Is that?
So Roth, you pay the money, you pay your taxes going in on it, but you never pay it again. Where the traditional side, you don't pay the taxes on it going in, but if you're going to be the one self-directing it, you're saying what you're really betting on is that you're going to make a lot of money inside of your investments. So, when you put money inside of a Roth, let's say your contribution amount is $7,000, I would rather pay taxes on $7,000 now. And maybe that fee is, $1,000 I got to pay in taxes. But that $7,000 I'm now betting on for the next 40 years of my life with the investments that I make inside of crypto, that I'm going to take that $7,000 to $1 million inside of crypto. Now, if I do that in 40 years, at the end of my strategy, I'll pay zero in taxes. I won't pay one penny in taxes on any of it. If you do on the traditional side, you now owe taxes on $1 million on it. So if you did pay the taxes on the $7,000 up front, you would not have to pay tax on the million later. But the cooler account, dude, there's really five different accounts that you guys should check out. There's a traditional Roth, which honestly, I don't even use that much of. The game changer of all the tax-free wealth out there is what's called the solo. So there's a retirement account called the solo account. The solo account, you have to be a business owner to have a solo. But if you're a business owner and you have what's called a solo, and it could be just a startup company, it doesn't matter. If you have a solo account, instead of contributing $7,000 in your Roth or $19,000 in a traditional IRA, in a solo, I can put in a total of $58,000 of contributions per year. And if I'm married, I can put double that I can put into it. So when you get into a solo Roth and you're having that much money that you're investing with, dude, that's a mat. I own so much real estate and crypto, and I own business shares where I've invested in business.
In your solo IRA.
Inside of my Roth accounts, the main one being the solo. The other two that are really cool that you guys could check out would be, I have a Roth, I have a solo Roth, I have a HSA Roth.
And you can stack these up. Like, you can do your 401k at your job, and you can have a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you can stack them up. There's a maximum limit total that you can contribute across the board in all of them. But it's I don't know the number from my head. It also depends on your age, but it's like probably close to 100,000-ish if you stack all these up that you could contribute. But
These high yield assets like crypto are best in your IRA, because that's what you want to shelter from taxes, right? If your Bitcoin 100%. Goes from 10,000 to a million, that's what you want to not pay taxes on. It's, you know, your bonds, you don't care about that.
Yeah.
Bonds are dead anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. Good idea. So again, I would just from your side, dude, I would look at rolling yours over from a traditional to a Roth, because you know, and I know we're both betting on and believing that in the next 40 years, crypto is going to be exploding massively in value. So I would rather pay the taxes now and not have to deal with it ever again, and put it inside of a Roth. That's the only difference that I do versus what you're doing right now.
Good idea. So one more question, stable coins. Sure. So we have cryptos, which are not pegged to any asset. We have stable coins, which are typically, they're pegged to the dollar. I think that's something else people are missing out, because stable coins by themselves don't go at all, but everybody needs cash. You have to park the cash somewhere.
Right.
If you hold it at a bank, you're losing at least 7%, maybe much more per year because of inflation. But what you can do now, what you can do now is put the stable coin on a lending platform like Celsius or Nexo or BlockFi and be getting 9-10% on that.
Yeah.
And I think for everybody who's operating cash, like everybody needs an emergency fund. So my suggestion is take that, put that in the lending platform. Instead of getting zero at your bank, losing money, you can get 10%.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so I know what you're talking about. I don't do it. Not that I don't believe in it. It's just other things I invest in are differently. But if I was in a place where I was getting into investing and starting in investing and even a medium term investor, dude, it makes complete sense. The mistake that so many people make is what you said at the beginning of it. They leave their money sitting in a bank and they just don't understand what it's really costing them. You know, what it's really costing you to have that money sit there and sit there and sit there. You're losing it in two different ways. Well, or yeah, I can say three. You're losing because of what you should be making on it, which you never, people never calculate that. Mm-hmm. But you're losing it on taxes, and you're losing it on the main, which is inflation right now.
Yep.
When your money is not working for you right now, dude, you are getting hammered right now in inflation. So again, that's why
people think it's a safe place to keep it, but it's not. I mean, it's a dumb place to keep it. You're losing officially 7%. I think unofficial, the actual rate is much higher.
Yeah, unofficial rate, I would agree, is much higher, because again, the 7% rate is on the inflation side, but you still got to tack into tax side, and then you have to tack in the what you should be making on it side of it as well. Like, again, what would happen if you put that money and you put it in what you're talking about, right? And now you're at 9%, but you're also not at -7 and you're at a +9. That's the real spread that I don't think people ever calculate of what they're really missing, right? It's not that, well, okay, if I do it over here, I'll make 9. No, dude, you're missing 16% is what you're losing right now. The 7 and the 9 you should be making.
Sure. Cool. Any other thoughts, Andrew?
You know, man, if you're listening to it and you're inside of crypto, man, you're on the right track for sure. You got to get educated. You, in any type of investing, you have to get educated. It's a wild game to run around and just start throwing money against the wall. So I would tell you, get educated. And whether you pay, right now you're in a position to pay for that, or you're getting off of podcasts, you're getting off of blogs that you're reading, you're following people, but you got to stay educated inside the market, especially in our economy / our world, David. Our world changes so fast right now in business, in the market. It moves so, you look at our economy and the speed of which our economy can change and our country changes from 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Speed of what things take place now is so, so much faster than it was 50 years ago, which is why you got to be on top of what's going on. So educate yourself on anything you do, man. And at some point, you got to go hire someone who is an actual expert on it, or put your money with someone who is an expert.
Okay.
Because that is what they do, you know? That's what I tell people, man.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, I really appreciate you being on with me today. Thanks a lot.
Dave, appreciate having me. Thank you, boss.
All right. I'm going to...